They call themselves anti-fascists, but it seems that even their name is a lie. In 2020, Americans really came to know Antifa as waves of riots swept across America. The leftist group has frequently used violence and destruction to try to influence and terrorize communities. Some people believe that they are a domestic terror organization, but who are they and why no movement to stop these folks? Let's bring in our panel to discuss, including someone who has been following the group and was physically attacked by its members, senior editor-at-large of the Post-Millennial and New York Times best-selling author of Unmasked, Andy Ngo, and also joining us, former Homeland Security Department advisor Charles Marino. Folks, thank you so much for being with us on this. Andy, you were attacked several times by Antifa, and you've been following the group for years. You know, when our network covered illegal immigrants being moved from a New York City hotel, our reporter was blocked and harassed by Antifa members with umbrellas. Take a look at this.
Trying to fight off these umbrellas here. These activists have actually picked and choose which media they've chosen to do this for.
Andy, back us up a bit. What do we know about this group, who they are, and how they recruit their members?
Well, one of the misconceptions about Antifa is that they operate as a single group. In fact, they're a decentralized network of many, many groups and cells, as well as radicalized individuals. And as we've witnessed for many years now, they are able to carry out acts of carnage and violence and actually be even quite effective at destabilizing certain communities. As you mentioned, I've been beaten and assaulted several times severely by them in the course of my reporting in Portland. When I watched the video of what happened to your colleague in the middle of the day in Manhattan with law enforcement in sight, it just shows really how brazen they are in attacking our fundamental freedoms as Americans, the freedom of expression, the freedom of the press. And yet, regardless of how violent they are on camera over and over, the liberal establishment and the liberal media will cover for them.
Yeah. Charles, these folks target cops. They've not only beaten up folks like Andy, but you know, I saw a pack of them walking around Asheville, North Carolina about a year ago. They all had machetes in their backpacks. You have the latest riots in Georgia where Antifa members stormed a construction site for a police facility. They destroyed machinery. They attacked the police with Molotov cocktails. These folks are trained, they are funded, and they're coordinated. Why aren't we seeing, to Andy's point, more action being taken?
Yeah, well, it's how you define the problem. If we're all over the place as a law enforcement institution, all the way up to the Department of Justice, if you don't define the problem correctly, then you're going to have a hard time going after it. So as long as the DOJ and the FBI keep saying that Antifa isn't an organization, just an ideology, then the problem will never be solved, right? Of course there's an ideology. That's the basis for the formation of every group in existence, all the way down to the companies that we work for. So of course they've bought into the ideology of Antifa, but now they need to go after it as an organization. And as your other guest said, they are loosely aligned, affiliated. I call them sometimes between a flash mob and a highly organized bank robbery. They kind of fall in that range. Are they domestic terrorists? It depends on what they're targeting. Of course, if they go after critical infrastructure, then the answer to that question would be yes. But ultimately, we've got to follow the money, and we need to hold people accountable and arrest them.
Yeah, Andy, Antifa members, they're even going as far as protecting public drag shows. And we saw that going on over the last number of months. All of this takes money. It takes organization. It takes communication. And, you know, Al-Qaeda was designed to operate semi-autonomously from the head of the organization. And so it sort of feels like this is designed in much the same way. In your research, who's actually paying for this? Do we know? Do we have any suspects out there?
It's actually, it's really the public. It's crowdfunding. It's how they get most of their money. It's called, they call it mutual aid. So you just mentioned what happened in Atlanta recently with some of these domestic terror attacks that have happened in the last several months that have led to nearly 50 people being charged with domestic terrorism. Well, in the most recent instance, where 23 suspects were arrested in a day, immediately, even before the far-left extremists knew which comrades and how many people were arrested, they were immediately already promoting online fundraising campaigns through Twitter. And they've been very effective at this strategy. It was really put to test in 2020 in Minneapolis. It was quite successful. Tens of millions were raised for the riot suspects there, as well as attempted murder suspects. Mm-hmm. In Portland, that was used to bail out attempted murder suspect and other felony criminal suspects. So the system is quite sophisticated.
I just find it so striking that conservative groups get banned from PayPal, get banned from Twitter, get banned from other fundraising platforms, but Antifa is still allowed to, as you say, crowdfund a lot of their operations. Charles, it seems like violence is excused if it favors these leftists. We saw it with Black Lives Matter. Is Antifa kind of becoming sort of an enforcement arm for the far left?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great way of putting it, Tom. They've been allowed to become that. I mean, look at the number of prosecutions that we saw resulting when Antifa merged with Black Lives Matter during the 2020 riots, right? Those numbers were abysmal. I mean, they just were not being prosecuted. So they've been allowed, given mm-hmm. this room, to grow and become more aggressive. I think in light of this recent activity that's taking place down in Atlanta, here's how we solve it. Here's how we find out who's involved in it, is you prosecute them hard. A lot of these people have occupations, that they have their own money, they have families, and I think as long as you go after them extremely hard, have them have to spend money to defend themselves, and I think you'll see a lot of that outside money tend to dry up the more expensive it gets.
All right, look, we're going to continue to follow this because this is a significant problem, and we're not seeing enough action against Antifa, on certainly on the left, but also on the right. Andy Ngo and Charles Marino, thanks to you both.